The closing market report is made possible in part by a grant from Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services in Oakland, Illinois, a full-service commodities firm with two toll-free lines. In Illinois, 800-252-2013. In Indiana, 800-637-3123, or email to Cooley at admworld.com.
Welcome to the Closing Market Report. It's June the 11th, 2007. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Kurt Kimmel of Grainfield Marketing. He's in Normal, Illinois. And later in the half hour, we'll discuss the cash grain market with the folks at the Andersons right here in Champaign County. In agricultural news, Canada has backed away from its WTO dispute against U.S. corn subsidies. The Farm Bill is scheduled to be debated on the floor of the House in mid-July. And the sponsors of the just failed immigration legislation say they're not giving up, well, at least not just yet. And then a bit later in the program, we'll put on our shades because the future of careers in agricultural sciences looks awfully bright. Hey, and don't forget that just after the bottom of the hour, we'll check in with the folks at Chesapeake Energy, speaking of bright skies, to discuss the global agricultural weather forecast. It all happens on this Monday edition of WILL AM 580's Closing Market Report.
The Closing Market Report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn after corn specialists. Information on the web at agrigold.com or by contacting Regional Sales Manager Scott Williamson at 217-778-6485 for a representative nearest you.
In Chicago on this Monday afternoon, we'll take a look at what happened at the Board of Trade and the Mercantile Exchange. Futures in the July wheat pit were up 28.5 cents today at $5.56 on their settlement. September futures, 571 and three quarters, up 29 and a quarter. And December contract up 27 and a quarter at $5.83 and three quarters. July corn futures, 396 up 14. September at 405 up 14 and three quarters. And December 406 up 13 and three quarters for the day. July soybean futures 8.5 cents higher at $8.30 on the settlement price. And August contract at $8.38 up 9 for the day. November beans at 836.5 were up 9 as well. Bean meal futures, July contract at 230.20, they were up $4 even. July bean oil at 35.42, up 05 for the day. And feeder cattle finished the August contract down 65 cents at a 107.55 for the afternoon. Live cattle futures, June contract at $90.65, up 92.5 cents, and the August futures were up 40 for the live cattle at $90 even on their settlement price. June lean hogs up 20, or rather down 20 cents at $72.67.5. From the outside markets, crude oil trading the nearby July contract at $65.91, and they were up $65.91. They were up $1.15 for the day. And the Dow Jones Industrial Average now stands at 13,461, and it's up just about 37 points for the afternoon.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Now to take a look at what happened at the Chicago Board of Trade and the Mercantile Exchange is Kurt Kimmel of Grainfield Marketing out of Normal, Illinois. Good afternoon to you, Kurt.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Well, it didn't take long. They didn't pay too much attention to the USDA reports. I assume this morning I looked over those reports and didn't see anything that looked out of the ordinary, but weather must have stepped in. Is that the case?
Yeah, that's the number one concern. You know, as we've hinted on in the past, when you look at the yield on the supply-demand balance sheet, you vary that by a couple bushels up or down, that's going to move that bottom line dramatically for say. So that's the key emphasis here as we go into mid-June, even July, is what type of yield prospects. And when you look at some of these areas that's missed the rain here over the last few weeks, it's starting to be quite a concern, especially if it's your farm. Not a whole lot of rain in the forecast here in the near term. A lot of the forecasts are looking at the next major chance of rain won't be until first part of next week. And you know, if we warm up, like they say, and stay dry, like they say, we're just going to plain have to add weather premium to the marketplace.
So what did we see in the report this morning that surprised you, didn't surprise you at all?
Well, coming back and lowering the corn exports by 50 million bushels, I thought that corn sales were strong, and thought they would hold in there, and thought we'd go ahead and get shipped out what we've sold in there. It's a little bit, but 50 million bushels here, 50 million bushels there shouldn't be a shocker. Probably the trade was caught off guard by not really moving the new crop supply-demand balance sheet a whole lot. When you take the old crop and move it in the new crop, there were some changes there in the corn, but they virtually left new crop virtually unchanged. Also, too, on the wheat side, saw a little lower production estimate. And the when you look at the world supply-demand balance sheet, it continues to show a tighter corn and wheat situation. Some of these stocks are, you know, 20 to 30 year tight levels or lows per se, and that suggests that any type of heat cup weather concern is just going to continue to get the trade excited about the upside here until we move to levels that slow some demand. Demand really hasn't slowed just yet. And that's going to be the main function of the market, add premium. Worldwide, continue to see weather concerns in China and the Ukraine. And so things just aren't as perfect as what the bear wants it to be.
Now, tell me about the wheat just a bit, because we locked the limit up in Chicago and Kansas City, both for a while. Chicago, I think, finished the limit up as well. And that was a pretty good jump in the market. It was the impetus, I assume, for the corn market to be moving so sharply higher. Is that right?
Yeah, wheat led the charge. Wheat should be the leader here now. You know, oftentimes we look for leadership, and we're looking at contra-seasonal move here in the wheat, and wheat should take leadership of the role here. Wheat in July moved to 11-year high. It was up on the limit for about 2 hours during the day. Funds bought about 78,000 contracts. At one time, there was over about 1,700 contracts bid the limit up in the July up front. The pools weren't that steep in the deferred contracts. But with the supply-demand balance sheet tightening up tighter here worldwide, and the demand still somewhat robust in here, and the weather concerns, it's centered by on the wheat buy programs here today.
What do you think the follow-through on wheat will be in the overnight sessions?
I would think that we'll probably see wheat up 5 to 8 cents, follow through there. Most of the buy orders did get filled. The inability to close limit up, lock limit up, sort of takes the blossom off a little bit. Oftentimes you hear the saying contrary Tuesday or turnaround Tuesday, so some additional gains will probably be met with some profit taking.
And how does this all play out into the corn pit?
Corn did receive some help from the wheat, but corn sort of doing its own thing here. The overnight trade, corn was a leader in the overnight trade. Wheat was only up about 8 cents. USDA helped the wheat market be the leader during the day trade, but overnight corn was the leader. On its own there on the weather forecast. The market's going to probably shift focus about every 6 hours whenever a new weather map comes out. As long as we continue to see some dry forecasts in through here, we're going to see some ample buying orders come into the marketplace. Funds by about 14,000 contracts. We went above the $4 level, stayed above the $4 level, so this $4.395 is going to be a critical area to stay above. If we can stay above that, most technicians are going to start talking 450 December corn futures.
And how soon do you think they'll do that? Will it take a couple days or a week? Or
I would say that we're in weather mode right now. If we do not see a increase of moisture in the forecast in the near term here, we would not be surprised to see December corn futures at 450 by Friday's close.
And this would be for the eastern Corn Belt you're talking about, right?
Well, yeah, exactly. The West continues to receive the rain, too much rain, per se. Here in the east, you take the Mississippi on east, that's where your dry concerns are.
Farmers need to be, what, standing by the sidelines and watching, or do they need to take action of some sort?
Well, as a producer, we feel we need to use the strength in here to get to where you want to be. We all know how weather markets react, straight up, straight down, and we're going to see some extreme volatility. The number one strategy to be able to have your cake and eat it at the same time is to buy some put options. This would put a floor underneath the marketplace, so we get the forecast of rain, the market comes tumbling down. at least you got a floor. And if the market keeps marching higher and you're uneasy about forward pricing cash grain, well, the puts gives you the flexibility by having the floor of the ability to sell cash grain at some higher levels. So we're big advocates of buying the put options. That's a very conservative way to be in the marketplace and sort of spread the risk to someone else. Otherwise, continue to have some scale-ups. Orders in the marketplace, you know, have some orders to sell, you know, every 25 cents higher and let the market sort of come to you and scale into it over time, Todd. Are
you worried at all about the bean market given the big jump in both the corn and the wheat and just an 8.5 cent gain in the July soybeans and those were up only 9?
Yeah, it's kind of disappointing. Usually when you get some weather markets and big bulls, you know, the beans are take over leadership and you see some big gains there. But beans, you know, were a little bit overbought. They had leadership there for the last couple of weeks. The world palm oil values were lower again overnight. So we're seeing a little bit more correction take place in palm oil and world vegetable oils, and that sort of kept the lid on the bean complex. But beans, just like corn in through here, if we continue to see some dry weather, you know, they'll take off in through here. It's best to see some backing and filling. You know, if you go straight up, it comes straight down, straight down. So it's kind of nice to see beans take a little bit of a breather here. The next market maker will be this afternoon's crop conditions report. Traders looking for a 1% to 3% decline out of that good to excellent category. And the next week will probably be a bigger drop than that.
You know, you were here on Friday afternoon when Tommy Shuff, our guest on Commodity Week, said he was a $5 corn bull and a $10 bean bull. Is he right?
I believe he is. And I tell you what, we were really busy this morning, but a lot of the people we work with took time to say they really enjoyed that program, Todd. That's a keeper, but
that is a keeper. I agree.
I think the potential's there. You know, as I mentioned before, we don't believe China bought over 80 million bushels of beans here a couple weeks ago at these levels, just for the heck of it. We feel there's some potential there. The world grain traders are on edge. You know, you talk about these ethanol guys having coverage. They're going to have to get more coverage. They've only covered up to this spring, and they're starting to get some more coverage. And so as time goes on, any type of weather concern, this thing is just a powder keg ready to go. I know if you're a buyer, if you sold out, you don't want to hear that. But, you know, you've got a tremendous amount of outside money wanting to get into the marketplace for the commodity funds. You've got end users that are not covered yet. So this thing is going to be just like we've talked about all winter long. It's going to be very volatile.
Thank you much, Kurt.
Very good.
Have a good afternoon.
Appreciate it.
Kurt Kimmel is with Grainfield Marketing out of Normal, Illinois. Joins us here on the Closing Mark Report. That happens each and every Monday afternoons at the bottom of the hour. We'll talk with the folks at Chesapeake Energy in Chicago about the agricultural weather forecast. Our own Mike Sola says tonight across the two-state region there will be a few lingering showers in the southwestern part of Illinois. Otherwise, it'll be clear to partly cloudy. Lows will range from 55 in eastern Indiana to 63 in western Illinois. Tomorrow, mostly sunny skies, says Mike. Highs will range from 80 near Lake Michigan to 88 in some central Illinois locations. And in the south, winds tomorrow will range from 5 to 12 miles an hour in the afternoon. The minimum relative humidity levels will be between 30 and 50%. A warming trend through the week will be accompanied by little or no precipitation for the two-state area for the entire week. A cold front, though, is indicated by forecast models to move into northwestern Illinois from the northern plains around Tuesday of next week. And that, says Mike Solem, is the next best chance for rain.
Did you miss the Closing Market Report or some of our other agricultural programming? We've got the answer. You can get all our AM 580 agricultural shows delivered daily directly to your computer. Just go to our website, WILLAG.org, and look for the headline, subscribe to AM 580 Ag Podcast. Follow the simple steps, and you'll never miss an ag broadcast again. From the pre-opening and opening ag reports to the closing market report to Commodity Week, all delivered to your computer when you need it. Head on over to WILLAG.org and put the AM 580 Agricultural Podcasts to work for you.
In today's agricultural news, the National Corn Growers Association is pleased the Canadian government has dropped its allegations of prejudice by U.S. corn. Canada had submitted a request to the World Trade Organization for a dispute resolution that omits its original assertions that U.S. support payments to corn growers caused serious prejudice by threatening to cause price suppression in the Canadian market. In a January 8th consultation request, Canada charged the U.S. had exceeded its $19.1 billion overall annual spending cap on trade-distorting amber box subsidies by failing to report certain direct payments as amber box support. Canada also alleged the U.S. government violated WTO subsidy rules through its Export Credit Guarantee Program. Well, House Ag Committee Chairman Colin Peterson of Minnesota says the full House will begin floor debate on the 2000 Farm Bill the week of July the 16th. House subcommittees will complete work on the commodity title, which began June the 6th, with sugar and peanut titles starting next week. Markup of the key general commodity title is scheduled for June the 18th. And the House Agriculture Subcommittee on Horticulture and Organic Agriculture in Washington, D.C. has approved proposals for the Farm Bill titles under their jurisdiction. Chairman Dennis Cardoza of California says the subcommittee was created out of a need to focus more attention on organic agriculture and specialty crops. The mark, according to Cardoza, recognizes the needs of these important sectors of American agriculture. Fruits and vegetables comprise a significant share of the U.S. agricultural market. And finally, senators have vowed to move ahead on immigration. Sponsors of the failed comprehensive immigration overhaul vowed to persevere in seeking passage of the legislation yet this summer. The chief Democratic sponsor of the measure, Massachusetts Senator Edward Kennedy, declared, "We are not giving up on S-1348. That's Senate Bill 1348. And that is a look at today's agricultural news. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. This is WILL Urbana. You can learn more about the ag programming here on the station. Just visit our website at willag.org. That's willag.org. You can find all those numbers from the USDA reports released this morning there as well. The answer to your questions at willag.org. Well, up next, the need for plant breeders and crop scientists is on the upswing, and it looks like a bright future for careers in agriculture, especially those graduating from the University of Illinois. The Agricultural College on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois is home to some 2,250 undergraduate students. The students are enrolled in a diverse set of programs, all linked together with a common objective of creating and disseminating knowledge to help meet the basic food, fiber, and human needs of the world population. The U of I students come from urban, rural, and farm backgrounds and study in 12 major areas with 42 concentrations. Fred Kolb is a U of I agronomist and specializes in recruiting new undergraduate students. He says today and the future look awfully bright for those graduating from crop sciences at the University of Illinois.
That's right. There's a really good demand for students out of our programs right now because a lot of the companies are looking for students, looking for people to work in their programs. And basically, there's greater demand than there is supply, so there aren't enough people going into this area, and the companies are looking for more people, especially strong in crop sciences and in plant breeding areas.
Any farmer can tell you strong demand means higher prices, and that goes in the career world, too.
We're seeing salaries continue to increase, so the supply and demand is actually working on salaries. And as far as an advanced degree, there's good, strong demand for students with a BS degree as well as MS and PhD levels. And what a master's degree or a PhD would mean is that the student coming out with a master's or PhD obviously would expect a higher salary and start at a higher level than someone with a BS. But I would emphasize that there are demand for students at all three of those levels.
Enough demand that crop sciences students from the University of Illinois managed a starting salary about $6,500 higher on average. than their colleagues with other agricultural majors.
Last year's graduates were right around $42,000 for a starting salary on average. And what we know of this year, the data's not all in yet, but we know that that's a couple thousand dollars higher. So this year's graduates are probably in the $44,000-$45,000 range.
Demand for crop sciences grads over the next several years is expected to remain strong. Fred Kolb urges high school and community college students with an interest in sciences and plants and agriculture to contact him. That's Fred Kolb, K-O-L-B, in the College of Agricultural, Consumer, and Environmental Sciences on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. For UofI by Extension, I'm Todd Gleason.
I'm doing all right, getting good grades. The future's so bright. I gotta wear shades. I gotta wear shades. I gotta wear shades. I gotta wear shades.
Today's broadcast is made possible with support from First Midwest Bank, serving the banking needs of Illinois' agricultural community with locations in Champaign, Danville, Galesburg, Morris, and McHenry. More information is available from Doug Slayton in Galesburg at 309-341-5003. First Midwest Bank, member FDIC, an equal housing lender.
Well, the folks at the Andersons here in Champaign County are awfully busy this afternoon, probably talking to a lot of farmers about what they might want to do with the cash grain market. If we get lucky, they will join us momentarily.
Yep.
Oh, they are. Hi, Wyatt. How are you?
Not too bad, Todd. Apologize for throwing you on hold there. It's been a busy day at the Andersons.
I would assume it has been. Tell me how busy and what farmers are doing.
A lot of people just squaring up after this report came out, and obviously the increased corn carryout didn't weigh on the market too much. So some people pricing wheat, some people pricing a little bit of old corn and also a little bit of new, and some soybean sales also today. So a little bit of everything added up to a lot of activity.
So if they're adding a lot of activity but and a little bit of everything, but they're not moving a lot, I assume that they're mostly bullish and they think they've got things covered by their crop insurance?
That's part of it. And also, aside from the crop insurance, each day that this market rides higher makes you not want to have sold the previous. So people are going at it with caution and not selling as large of amounts as they have in the past and spacing these out a little bit between sales. And I think that's a wise move.
It's a wise move. We know that $4 mark on corn is a place that over the years, and I think over, 40 or 45 years, when corn gets to that point, that's probably not a bad place to make some sales. Are you talking to them about the historic background on $4 corn much?
Yeah, absolutely. And I recall back in January one day when we were doing Commodity Week, we talked about this being the first time when the new crop futures were ever above $4. We've had times when the old crop's been there in tight supply, but this year's the first time we've ever seen over $4 in the December futures, and we got back there as of today. So can't say that that drew out a lot of selling. I would guess that most people are waiting to get back in that 425 area. It's 5 cents off the contract high, and also with our current basis of $4 cash for fall.
Okay, and speaking of your bids, what are they for the day?
Cash corn is 390, fall delivery 381, cash beans right at the $8 mark, fall delivery 833, and cash wheat 521.
Wyatt, I'll let you get back to your phones.
Hey, thank you.
You're welcome.
Bye.
Wyatt Muse is with the Andersons here in Champaign County. Awfully busy there this afternoon on a big up day in the Chicago marketplace. Going through the numbers real quickly from the USDA reports, and these didn't have much of an impact, but you ought to know what they are at least. The corn ending stocks at $987 million for this year, for next year at $997. Soybeans this year at $610, next year at $320, and the wheat $417, and next year at 443 million acres. In 2 minutes, we'll take a complete look at the more important story for the day, the agricultural weather. The folks at Chesapeake Energy in Chicago should join us. Time now for your regional newscast.
With this look at AM 580 News, I'm Tom Rogers. A federal appeals court has ruled that the Bush administration cannot legally detain a U.S. resident it suspects of being an Al-Qaeda sleeper agent without charging him. The panel said to find otherwise would have disastrous consequences for the Constitution and the country. Ali Armari is a native of Qatar. He's been detained since his December 2001 arrest at his home in Peoria. A man who shot a Muncie, Indiana police officer to death more than 16 years ago is scheduled to be executed early Friday. Michael Lambert was arrested for public intoxication and placed in the back seat of Officer Greg Winters' police car. He pulled out a gun and shot Winters 5 times in the back of the head. The policeman died 11 days later. Last week, the Indiana Parole Board recommended no clemency. Governor Mitch Daniels is reviewing the case. If the execution goes on as scheduled, Lambert would be the second person executed in Indiana this year. People in the village of Philo are under a boil water order. The town's water provider says a pump broke last night, draining a holding tank and letting pressure drop below normal. Because of that, the boil order is in effect until tests prove there's no contamination from the pressure drop. The pump has been fixed. Business leaders want to pool their resources to make DeWitt County a more attractive place for new business. They're gathering tonight to lay the groundwork for a countywide economic development group. It's using the experiences of Logan and Macon counties as its models. Former Governor Dan Walker says Illinois needs to clean up its act. Walker argues state officials must do more to fight government corruption. He also says they need to overhaul the tax system so the state doesn't have to depend on gambling to balance the budget. Walker was elected in 1972 and served one term. That was dominated by feuds with fellow Democrats. Now 84, Walker's written a book called The Maverick and the Machine. He ended up serving nearly 18 months in federal prison for business violations. There was no connections to his time as governor, but Walker says he can understand why some people would consider him the wrong person to complain about political corruption. But he says officials must do more to ensure that people get honest government. I'm Tom Rogers, AM 580 News.
I'm Todd Gleason, AM 580 Agriculture. You're listening to WILL Urbana. We're joined on the phone this afternoon by Mark Russo of Chesapeake Energy in Chicago to take a very important look at the agricultural weather forecast for the day. Hi, Mark. How are you today?
I'm doing fine, Todd. How are you doing?
I'm very well. Usually on USDA reports days, we talk about the reports, but that wasn't the case in Chicago. They wanted to talk about the weather today, so you're on the spot. Tell me about it, please.
Yes, well, the pattern here across the Midwest, especially the central and eastern portions of the Corn Belt here, can remain on the dry side really throughout the bulk of this week, and along with the mostly dry conditions, will be above normal temperatures, especially over the upcoming weekend, where high temperatures will climb into the upper 80s and low 90s, even a few pockets in the mid-90s across the belt. And really, the next opportunity for some rainfall across the Midwest as a whole is going to take place around Tuesday and Wednesday of next week, when we see a frontal passage take place. But up until then, we see limited rainfall and above normal temperatures, and thus soil moisture reserves will be on the decline, especially in the east, which has been the trend here over the past few weeks.
In your learned expectations, how rough of conditions are we in at the moment?
Well, right now, Todd, we're not really in that rough condition. It's just because still your moisture requirements for this time of year are not all that great. That will obviously be changing once we get into later this month, and more importantly, and once we get into July, and especially during the critical pollination window for corn. But at this stage of the game, if anything, some of the dryness here is allowing, at least in the central and eastern belt, you know, more established root development, or at least longer root development, which could also pay some dividends if we do get any hot, dry spells come July.
So it goes looking down for that water and puts a better root system in just because it doesn't have it up front, but it's got the resources at the moment to do that, which would be good for the crop potentially. Tell me about other places around the globe. What kind of conditions do we have, for instance, in China?
Well, yeah, Todd, we're watching China pretty closely here, and over the past week we've seen very hot temperatures across the North China Plain region, which encompasses much of their, at least the southern areas of their corn and bean belt. Also, we have seen conditions turn drier across both the North China Plain, but also up into Manchuria, which is their northern portion of their corn and bean acreage. And looks like that will continue all of this week with a dry bias, also temperatures remaining on the hot side, and kind of similar to the Midwest, their next potential or opportunity for rainfall is not until next week. So that's going to be the focus of attention coming up, is that they need that rainfall to hold them over here.
Anything else that we ought to discuss that we haven't picked up yet?
Well, in other areas, the Indian monsoon continues to advance northward, and you know, this is the time of year where we watch the advancement northward to make sure that everything is okay across the Indian subcontinent, and at this time, everything is okay.
All right, we appreciate it much.
My pleasure, Todd.
Mark Russo is with Chesapeake Energy in Chicago, Illinois. He joins us here on the Closing Mark Report each and every Monday afternoons. Don't forget to tune again into the station at 8:49 for our pre-opening market report. And remember, you can hear today's futures analysis, the cash grain report, the weather right there on the web. Just go to willag.org. That's willag.org. You have a great afternoon. I'm Todd Gleason.